Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Pop Buzz podcast, bringing you all the best from the world of music and all that's good on the internet. I'm James, your host, right here at Pop Buzz. Joining me as ever are the rest of the team, looking as sprightly and alive as ever, is Katie. Say hello, Katie.
Hello, hello everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
And looking like he's just spent the best part of a week in a muddy tent in a field in Somerset, it's Woody. Say hello, Woody. Oh, there he is.
Hi.
Still haggard.
Yeah, still feeling it.
Still recovering.
Yeah. I got my Lemsip and a roll of toilet paper in front of me.
Just in case.
To set the scene for the listener.
Well, yeah, let's dive straight in, shall we? Let's get right to the news, shall we? This is WTF News. News, 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 news. What the f*** is happening in the news? Yeah, biggest story in the world of music, obviously, Glastonbury Festival, everybody. And as luck would have it, a member of our very own team was there in the heart of the action. Woody, take me through some highlights.
Well, luck is a bit of a strong word, I would say.
bit muddy.
It was very muddy. Firstly, it took about 13 hours to get there because obviously there were all those traffic problems, which was all over the news.
Hashtag Glastonbury traffic.
But, I mean, so many good musical performances, so, you know, which kind of made it more tolerable. So I saw the 1975, saw Wolf Alice, Grimes, James Blake, Alessia Cara.
Very Pop Buzz friendly lineup this year, actually, wasn't it? A lot of our faves were all around the stages.
Yeah, definitely.
It was nice.
Definitely. Although my favourite, personally, was PJ Harvey. I've been waiting about 12 years to see her.
Oh,
so,
bless you.
And I was probably the youngest person there by about 10 years. Like, literally, the guy next to me was like, I haven't seen PJ Harvey since 1995. And I was like, Jesus.
You were barely alive then.
Did they even have electricity back then? Like, had the wheel been invented? Jeez. But.
Well, a couple of the biggest stories from Glastonbury, obviously, were people were saying, first of all, about Brexit. So I'm sure you guys have all heard a lot about this already. But yes, the UK is going to be leaving the European Union. And some of the pop stars were commenting on that, most notably Matty Healy, who made a very impassioned speech. He said from the other stage, I know what a lot of people my age feel is that there's this sentiment of anti-compassion that's spread across an older generation and voted in a future that we don't effing want. I mean, he didn't say effing, obviously, but I'm keeping it clean. Mm. Yeah, it's nice to see him kind of being impassioned about this, right, guys? Was there kind of a change on sight that you felt at all?
I think people were just trying to slog it through anyway.
Fair
to
enough.
Be honest. But I did notice, like, when I came back, a lot of people on Twitter were commenting, you know, it's kind of like coming back to a different country. You kind of, it was almost like Glastonbury was a dream.
Ooh,
and you come back to the sober reality of everything's changed.
Well, on a positive note, the other very, very positive speech we heard was Ollie Alexander from Years and Years. It was Pride weekend. He came out in a beautiful coloured cape with glitter in his hair and just said that to any haters, we need to say no thank you fear, bye fear bye, and shove a rainbow in its face. What a hero.
Yes,
and I think we'll give him a little round of applause for that
definitely sentiment.
What a lovely man he is.
Yes, boo-boo.
Fan.
I think it's going back to Matty and Ollie as well. I just think it's so great that so many artists are speaking out nowadays on these kind of things.
Like,
I think for years many artists have been scared to be political, and it's great to have artists like them with such a young fan base, you know, getting them involved in politics.
Hear, hear. And then, of course, the other, on a completely different note, biggest pop culture story of the week, Game of Thrones finale, right? Game of Thrones finale. And I will say this up top. If you have not seen the final episode of the series of Game of Thrones, this is your spoiler warning, all right? Westwood-style alarms. Boo, boo!
Wee, wee,
all you do is wind this podcast on about 4 minutes, okay? And you'll be fine, I promise you. So, yes, everything happened in this episode. Ooh. Everything happened. Katie, take me through your highlights. Wow.
Cersei.
Yes.
Lannister. Queen. Queen,
yeah,
finally.
Actual queen, sipping on that wine.
Oh, my.
As everything kicked off. Yeah, it was a scary one. Do you think she's the one you want on the Iron Throne now? Is that the way you want this to go?
No, it's going to last 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, that's probably
true.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, who's going to challenge her then?
Who's going to challenge her? Well, I know who's going to kill her.
Okay, go on.
Well, you know the prophecy that happened where she was like, you're going to have 3 kids and they're all going to die and then you're going to die.
Yeah.
So it's going to be either Jaime or Tyrion.
Oh.
It's a big claim. I would say it's probably going to be more likely to be Jaime in some kind of mercy-killing scenario, isn't it, rather than Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's tricky.
The prophecy could be wrong, though. It could change.
But it's been right so far.
It has been right so far. What I loved was that it was 10 minutes longer than normal, and they just it was nothing but plot. There was no explainers. If you can't keep up, you're done for. It was just nothing but things happening, battles, revelations, killings. Just, oh, madness.
I think that's the point I'm at. I think I need to watch it again. I was in a post-Glastonbury haze anyway, and I was just like, who are these people?
I've watched it three times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't get enough.
Oh, my God.
I just can't stop thinking about it.
You need to calm down.
No.
It's a heavy one. It's a heavy one. Well, let us know what you think, guys. I mean, if you've watched the Game of Thrones finale, please do get in touch. Follow us on Twitter. It's at PopBuzz. And go on the Facebook page. Let us know what you think. Who do you want on the Iron Throne? Hey, guys, if you want all the best latest news, play all our quizzes, and get access to PopBuzz Radio, you can download the PopBuzz app right now. It's available in the iTunes Store, and it is completely free. So this is exciting, guys. This is very, very exciting. We are coming towards the end of June now, about halfway through the year, and we've been doing a big vote over on the website, pop-buzz.com, to try and find out what your favourite album of the first half of 2016 has been. A lot of great choices, guys, a lot of great choices. But first, I thought we'd go through each of us and just talk a little bit about what our personal faves have been in this first half of 2016. So, Katie, I'm going to come to you first.
Hello.
Your favourite album of 2016, please.
Rihanna, Anti.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Take me through. I do love the album. Take me through. I want three reasons why this is the best album of 2016 so far.
It's one of those albums that you just can't put down and you want to play it, and you play it the entire way through. And I haven't felt like that since Pussycat Dolls PCD.
Wow. Throwing it right back.
That was huge.
What?
This is even better. If you can believe it.
It's a slogan for the poster. Even better than the Pussycat Dolls PCD.
There's literally a song for like every single mood. Like, you're in the club, you're dancing on a hot and sweaty dance floor. Drake's over in the corner wearing a full matching tracksuit.
Isn't he always?
Perfect. There's even a song if you want to drunk dial your ex-boyfriend. She's really putting it out for everyone.
I cannot believe you compared that album to the Pussycat Dolls.
Get over it. But also, it's like so far removed from everything she's done. It's like a more mature bad gal. And it's like really nice vibe. I really like it.
There you go. There you go. Big claim. All right, Woody, we'll come to you now. Your favourite album so far in 2016, please.
I mean, there's only one option. Beyonce, Lemonade. Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you. Can't you see there's no other man above you? What a wicked way to treat the girl that loves you. Oh, love, they don't love you like
big
I love
choice.
You.
Big choice. One of the most talked about albums of the year, certainly. Tell me why it's your fave.
Well, when people come to look back on the cultural events of 2016, they'll go Lemonade, Brexit, Tay Tay, Muck Hiddleswift.
In that order.
In that order. That's what will happen. But no, it's culturally significant for a number of reasons, mainly because it incorporated many things that are of the zeitgeist at the moment. So Black Lives Matter movement, for example. You've got feminism. Mm. She's really discussing, more specifically, black sisterhood. So these are really important things that she's discussing on such a mainstream platform. So there's that. But also, I mean, this is Beyoncé at her creative peak. You know, she's taking all sorts of genres, pop, blues, country, R&B, alt-rock, and throwing them all together and owning all of them. Mm. So, like, and who else can say that in 2016? And I don't know, the record as a whole, it's got tunes, integrity, depth, innovation, and the best memes pretty
yeah,
much
that's very
all
true.
Year. So,
very
like,
true.
I don't know, for me, 2016, this is Beyoncé's year, by
very
far.
True. Certainly the only album we'll get this year, I imagine, that comes with a fully-fledged film alongside it
exactly.
as well. Can't see anyone else pulling that off. I mean, both very good choices. Unfortunately, you're both wrong, because I know my choice for the album of 2016, it could only be The 1975. From the start, they played a part. Yes, their second album, I Like It When You Sleep, for you are so beautiful yet so unaware of it. Thank you.
Wow.
Say that five times fast.
Very good, very good.
Thank you, I've been practicing. Album of the year, undoubtedly. First of all, so ambitious. So ambitious. This is a 17-track long album with interludes as well. It's covering all manner of musical styles. You've got everything from the kind of upbeat pop you've heard in singles like Love Me and then you've got shoegazing electronica that's wordless and it's still appealing and still somehow fits the aesthetic of the whole thing as a whole. It's also hilarious. I mean, we've talked about this at length. Some of the lines in there, you know, talking about a girl who, you know, wants to take a picture of a salad and put it on the internet. There's an entire song about him searching for his brain in the aisles of a Sainsbury's supermarket. I mean, not many people could pull that off, but it is genuinely brilliant. And also, makes you want to cry too. He goes from full-on stand-up comedy to a closing pair of songs in Nana and She Lays Down.
Oh god, don't.
I mean, genuinely tear-inducing. There's a line in Nana, I believe it's something of a, it's not the same when I scratch my own head, I haven't got the nails for it, and that destroyed me
that
in the Pop Buzz office.
That final line, like, I haven't been doing too well. The way he delivers it,
You're getting serious. This is
I'm just having a breakdown.
We're not
just
even playing
about
it. It is a beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, it's too much.
It's absolutely fantastic. They've been recreating it so well live as well. We've seen them several times already this year. So that's my choice. However, I can tell you guys, in terms of readers, you've gone a different way. None of our choices are number one. All our choices are in there. And I will tell you the 1975 is at number two at the minute with 2.8 thousand votes. But number one, with 3.8 thousand votes, champagne, cocaine, gasoline, and most things in between, is Panic at the Disco.
Oh.
Wow.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, you were a little bit. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah,
no, it's a fantastic album. We talked to Brendan back in January as it was about to be released, and he was very excited about it. His first album where he's recorded it entirely on his own. He plays the instruments. He does all the vocals. He's very involved in the production of it. I mean, you can't really fault it. It's definitely in my top three going forward. You know, it definitely is. I think it's been a good achievement for me. It went to number one in America. First, you know, the first album on his own, it was kind of a risk, you know, successful.
Yeah, I think it's definitely marked a new point in his career where he's officially now like a solo artist and he's really taken control over what he wants to do. Whether it's the best Panic album, though, come on.
Big claim. One of my faves. I don't know. I'm loving the new kind of Frank Sinatra aesthetic he's got going on in, you know, the title track and The Impossible Year. It's a fantastic, fantastic record. But it could still all change, guys, because voting is still open. Is your fave not being included? Get on the website, pop-buzz.com, and cast your votes for the best album so far. And we must point out, we've got to keep updating this throughout the year, because later on, you know, new Paramore coming up, Blink's about to drop another
LG5.
One. Indeed. And, of course, the one we're most excited about, The Return of Busted. So you get on pop-buzz.com and vote for your fave right now. Guys, if you want to hear those tunes and loads more great songs, you can. It's all on the website, pop-buzz.com, on Pop Buzz Radio. Just go on the homepage, go to the top right-hand corner, and click the Listen button. And you can also get it on the Pop Buzz app, available in the App Store now. So to celebrate Panic's victory in your reader poll, we are going to play a special Panic at the Disco-themed edition of Name That Fanfic.
Ooh, fanfic. I read your fanfic. Why are you so nasty?
You should delete yourself.
So, if you don't know how this works, here's what happens. I have three quotes in front of me from genuine pieces of Panic at the Disco fanfiction. All Katie and Woody have to do is tell me who the quote is about. Is it about Brendan Urie or Ryan Ross? You know it's all going to be about those two, right? I mean, I tried to find, like, you know, touring bassist Alan Weeks. No, it's Ryan or Brendan. You know that's the way it's going to go. But first of all, we need some buzzers, guys. We need your buzzers. Katie, I'm coming to you first. When I come to you for an answer, you will buzz in with the noise.
Oh, baby, baby. That's my best one yet.
That was so good. I thought Brittany was in the room for a second.
She is.
Oh, very
How
nice.
How y'all doing?
Woody, can you beat it? When I come to you for an answer, you will buzz in with...
You're all right, love.
I feel you're getting lazier by the week with these buses.
I mean, that might be true, yes. Until when you decide to buy me a buzzer,
never
then
happen.
You won't get such terrible buzzers. Never. How about that?
Never going to happen. So let's kick things off. Like I say, it is Brendan or Ryan. Those are the choices. Here is fanfic quote number one. The room is cold, way too cold for his liking. And the hot chocolate is too hot. And the ice in the ice rink a few feet from where he is sitting is too hot. Oh, straight in, Woody. Who do you think it is?
I think Brendan would be particularly panickety about the temperature of his hot chocolates. he's got that written all over his face.
Maybe, but I'm afraid it's the wrong answer. It was Ryan Ross. And I'm giving a point to Katie. There you go. I like the end of this as well. The ice in the ice rink a few feet from where he's sitting is too hard and it hurts too damn much when he falls on it. And that's every 5 seconds. Apparently Ryan Ross, terrible ice skater.
Terrible.
I know, shocking. It's a bit of a shame, bit mean. Anyway, here is fanfic quote number two. Is it Brendan or is it Ryan? It was like a firecracker of sensations just went off in him as the lovely slide of a tongue caressed his ear, plunging down into a place where you would think you'd never want a tongue to go. Oh, Katie's in.
Brittany's buzzed in.
Brendan or Ryan?
Ryan.
Why?
No.
Justify it.
Because I don't believe that you would have put Brendan.
Don't play a tactical game.
I'm playing tactical.
Nah, don't try and second guess me. Don't try and second guess me.
But I'm right though, aren't I?
No, it's Brendan. No! Actually, that's a point to Woody. Afraid not. It is Brendan who doesn't know what to make of a tongue in his ear. There you go. Ooh. Good information for all Panic fans out there. So this is the decider then. This is the decider. This is interesting. Okay. Here is your final fanfic quote. When they break apart, he looks as though Christmas has come early and someone decided to run a week-long marathon of all his favourite Disney movies on top of that.
What?
When they break apart, he looks as though Christmas has come early. And
oh,
baby. Oh, Katie, right. It's all down to this. All down to this. Is it Brendan or is it Ryan?
I believe that Brendan is a secret Disney stan.
Why? May I ask why?
He just looks like one.
He just looks like
a Disney
on
the weekdays. He doesn't go to work. He just stays in and watches Disney films.
Are you saying he's lazy? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
He's got nothing better to do than watch Disney films.
Apparently not. It's the correct answer.
Oh.
Katie is the winner.
Yes.
Name that fanfic for this week. Commiserations, Woody. A valiant effort, though. Well, a valiant effort. Whatever. What can I say? So we've learned, yeah, Brendan apparently a big Disney fan. Fearful of ears getting tongued. And Ryan hates ice skating. There you go, Panic fans. Nice bit of knowledge for you.
Wow.
Bring it up when you next do a meet and greet with them.
Got a question. We've got a question. Can you help us out?
Finally, it is question of the week time, guys. So this week we're going to talk about the big political earthquake that has taken place. Cersei is on the Iron Throne. No, I'm kidding. It's Brexit. Of course it's Brexit. Yes, we mentioned it earlier. So the UK is going to be leaving the European Union after a massive vote where people voted that it was time for us to say goodbye to our nations on the continent. So what I want to know, guys, and let's try and keep it lighthearted because it's been a stressful week with this story.
Definitely.
What will you guys miss the most about these European countries? We're waving goodbye. What will you miss the most about them? Okay, Woody, I'm going to come to you first, buddy. Take me through what you're going to miss.
Nothing. No, I'm joking.
No, that's why it's happening.
No, I'm a big fan of Europe. I guess what I'm really going to miss is Europeans taking pity on me whenever I'm visiting one of their countries and I can't speak a single word of the local language.
We've all been there.
Because I'm sure, like, many listeners are exactly the same as me. You know, you're incredibly enthusiastic about going on holiday, European culture, but utterly useless at speaking another language. So, like, whenever I'm in, like, a restaurant or bar and I'm attempting to buy a beer, I'm like, je voudrais un beer, s'il vous plaît. And they kind of just look at you and like, honey.
Girl,
and you're
honey,
saying that in Spain as well, so just make sense. Yeah.
Stop, you're embarrassing yourself. And when they're like, finally like, oh, I speak English, it's like you're being spoken to by like a guardian angel. Mm. But are they going to be as sympathetic to my idiocy anymore? No, like, you know, I'm probably going to go to Europe now and just starve to death or like... someone's going to like slap me around the face, or they're going to chase me down the street with a pitchfork. You know, like, where am I supposed to go on holiday now? Wales?
Yeah, oh,
come on, please. Now. So, really, having...
I love that both me and Kate have just gone very silent. Like, let's see where this goes.
So, I'm very upset for that reason, because I think they're not going to be as nice to me anymore.
I mean, I hope you're wrong. And to be honest, I think you will be wrong. I think there is still an element of camaraderie there. And I think they know that not everyone has voted to, you know, leave the EU. I think hopefully, especially among young people, overwhelmingly, all the young people voted that they wanted to remain. So I'm hoping there will still be a sense of brotherhood there across the continent. That's what we got to hope, anyway.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Damn. Katie, what will you be missing about these European nations?
Well, I mean, the only way I can sort of process this is that we are the Jerry Halliwell. And we've left the Spice Girls. So there's going to be no more Say You'll Be Theirs. There's going to be no more, like,
Stop.
Wannabe.
Stop.
How long before Back It Up makes an appearance?
Yeah, here I can we only go. Hope we produce such bangers as Michiko Latino.
With that European flavour.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is
going to
work.
You know, or if you're living in 2016, like Zayn leaving One Direction, obviously.
To Jerry first.
That's the most important one.
I agree.
But I mean, I've been promised that Eurovision will not be taken away from us, so whatever, carry on. I'm fine, I promise.
Yeah. But
I'm gonna miss the affordable price of Freddo's, actually, because they're probably gonna go up to £87. I'm going to miss the smell of fresh croissants and Danish pastries in the morning.
Yeah, because apparently they're banned now.
Yeah, they're going to be taken away.
That's one more croissants for us.
I'm going to miss the warm embrace of the European passport line at the airport.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think I'm going to miss Scotland the most, to be honest with you.
She said it. Goddamn. And it's probably going to be accurate.
You know, just thinking about that, I think Boris Johnson might be the bag it up of the UK. Okay, don't you think?
Is Ian Duncan Smith the look at me? All the hits.
No, they're really good songs.
By the way, if you're under the age of 25, this will mean nothing to you. Just Google Jerry Halliwell, please.
I'm so sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even want to call a winner from the question of the week this week, because they're both very, very valid points. It's a sad, sad week, a strange week, and we hope it all moves forward amicably.
Yeah, we need to unify. Yes. There doesn't need to be a winner this week.
A very nice conscious uncoupling.
Whoa. Sorry. I said there's no winner of question of the week. That didn't mean there's no winner overall.
What
now.
Do you mean?
Come on. Well, I think we played a little quiz earlier on and there was a clear winner and it sat opposite you, my friend, which would make Katie the winner of episode 5 of the Bob Buzz Podcast. There you go.
Thank you. Cersei says thank you.
And your prize, Katie, this week shall be an unlimited supply of fresh croissants brought to you straight away. As punishment, Woody, you will be next year's UK entrant to Eurovision.
That is not punishment. What
you
are you
say
talking
that now. You say that now. Scoochie, your backing band. It's going to be hard.
I'll judge you from my iron throne.
Sipping that wine. That is about it from us for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to click subscribe in the iTunes store. Thank you very much. We will see you next week. Say goodbye, Katie.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Woody.
Bye.